You know, some people might think that I have too much coffee. The sound you're hearing there is whole bean coffee from Bigby Best Blend, which I've consumed much of in my life. Some people think I should just go to decaf. I don't think that's the truth. My next guest, Mike McFaul, is the CEO, co-CEO of Bigby Coffee, has a brand new book, Grind, a no BS approach to take your business from concept to cash flow. Mike, good to have you here in the studio even.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. It's great to be here.
You know, Bigby is a company that has gone through some changes, went through a big name change overhaul at one point because apparently you had offended somebody with the original name of the company. And I thought it was silly at the time, but you guys, you know, you changed the name, you rebranded everything, and man, you just kept right on rolling. Tell me about, for people that don't know, Bigby's pretty much everywhere. It's a Michigan thing, mm-hmm. But it's going worldwide. We'll get to that in a minute. But how did it start? What year did that happen? And how many stores do you have today?
So we started, the first store opened in 1995. Bob Fish, my business partner and the other CEO of the company, started the first store with Mary Roselle, and they built one store. They were involved in, people from Lansing will be familiar with the flapjack concept. They were involved in the flapjack prior to Bigby. They opened the first store. I got involved about 18 months later, and when I got involved, we were selling under 300 cups of coffee a day. And today,
300 cups of coffee. Oh, yeah. That wouldn't even put gas in your tank.
I'm proud to say that here we are 25, this March will be 25 years.
Right.
And we're going to sell between 75,000 and 80,000 cups of coffee today. Primarily, we're in Michigan and Northwest Ohio, but we have a very strong presence now in Northwest Indiana, Cincinnati, Charleston, Wisconsin, and so on.
So you're a Great Lakes company, and you're bleeding into the states in the region. Yep. So there's about 8 or 9 states here. So don't be surprised if you find one in Wisconsin or Illinois or maybe even eastern Iowa along the way. I mean, that's kind of the whole region, right? Maybe western Pennsylvania. I can see the business plan. I can see. But you also put one on the other side of the planet.
Yeah.
Was that just for sport? You put, Indonesia, was it?
Yeah. So it, and by the way, it took my best joke that I had because people used to ask me all the time what our international strategy was or if we had one. And I would use the comeback. You understand Toledo's international to us, right? But anyway, so we
why
did.
Are you picking on Toledo? What do they do? Anyhow,
we have a great partner there. The guys that own A&W Worldwide is our master franchisee in Indonesia, and he bought 4 countries. And so we just opened our first store about a month and a half ago.
And how's it going there?
It's going great. We've got 3 more under development in Jakarta. And then we're filing our documents to become legal to franchise in Malaysia and Singapore right now.
So that's an interesting approach. I mean, usually people will go to, you know, the UK or France or Belgium, whatever. You're going to the South Pacific.
Well, I think you can relate.
Don't get me wrong. The fishing is great. I like it a lot. I think it's a great plan, and I think I should be there checking the coffee out and seeing if the fishing's any good. Go on.
I've never fished there. But as people are aware, and I think a lot of people relate to this, it's about the partnership. It's about the people we partnered with to take us there. And they're great people. They know the business inside and out. They've been very, very successful in their own business, and so we're proud to work with them.
So as you look back, about to mark 25 years of what was Beaners, is now Bigby Coffee, you know, and it's been years since that name change. Yeah, 06, long time since that happened. And I give you credit for making the big change because that was no inexpensive undertaking, even at that point in the business. Obviously, that's rebranding everything from the ground up, letterhead, bags, materials, signage, all of it. But here you are today. So that's one of the hurdles you had to overcome in business.
Yeah.
So the Grind, which is a great name for a book for a guy who's in the coffee industry, The Grind. What's the book about?
So I wanted to write a book that captured the essence of business startup, captured the essence of entrepreneurialism. I do a lot of reading in that space, and most of the books are written by entrepreneurs with 9-figure net worths looking back from their private jets through rose-colored glasses on the startup moment, right? Or
well, fair enough.
Or they're written by academics who are studying entrepreneurs. I hadn't ever read a book that I felt really captured the essence of what it felt like to be in a startup, and that was my intent, and that's why I wrote the book. And then obviously I wanted to bring some advice and some nuggets that people could take with them into business startup to help them succeed.
And so the book's been out there for a bit now. Was it also, I don't know, therapeutic for you to write the book? I mean, I write a lot, never written a book. I'm close. But I mean, there is some reflection. There's got to be some evaluation. There's got to be some, this is what worked, this is what didn't work. But you find out some things about yourself along the way, I would guess.
It was a large undertaking. I've heard that it takes a long time to write your first book if you ever get it done, right? And that's where a lot of people have a book in mind, but never sit down and do it. And it, you know, think of that major project you had in college, or you know, it's multiply that by a factor of about 20 or 30, right, in terms of writing a book. And so it was a great accomplishment. I felt great about it when it was done. It started as a project with a professor at the university, where he was going to bring the academic research piece. I was going to bring the practical component. A couple years into that, we just decided that wasn't going to work out, and so I took the project on myself, and the end result was Grind. And I'm real proud of it. It's a real daunting proposition. I mean, you're in the media constantly. People are listening to your words every single day. I don't live that life, right? And so to put this out there and to have people critique it and read it and comment, it's daunting.
I'm sure it is. It's interesting that you note who write these business books, but I also find it interesting. I find it interesting that most people in business have never read a sales book. They've never read a book about business. They're trying to do it on their own. They think they've got it figured out. Man, if they would take the opportunity to read Grind or read some other books out there, you would learn so much from people that have been down that road. Don't duplicate the mistakes. You don't have to.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of books that are must reads. Michael Gerber's book, E-Myth.
I've read it.
It's brilliant. Mm-hmm. Right? Of course, I like my book. And then, you know, I just read a book by Daniel Pink, if you've heard of him, and it's about sales. And the theme of the book is everybody sells. It doesn't matter what position you're in a company. It doesn't matter if you're self-employed. Everybody
sells. I've always said that every person at your company has to be a revenue source. Everybody. Yeah, everybody has to. And maybe I learned that from the E-Myth Revisited, which is a great book, by the way. But despite that, I still have a ton of balls in the air. You know, I tried to figure that out, but I bet you do too. You know, he tried to talk me out of that, but I you know, and you try every day desperately not to have balls hit the floor. There's a lot of truth to that. As you look forward from where we are, we got about a minute before the first break here. How many stores total did you say, roughly?
250.
250 stores.
Open. But the number I'm more proud of than that is that we have 53 under development, which is huge.
That's what I was going to ask you.
It's a huge number.
A year from now, how many? 300 then?
Yeah, we should have 300 open.
5 years from now.
Well, I'd have to do the math. Add another 100.
I mean, you'd be at 500 stores before. Let me ask you this, and I don't mean, I got 30 seconds here, and I don't mean to talk blasphemy here, but do you look at companies like Starbucks? Do you go into their coffee shops? Do you try to figure out what they're doing? You can do something you're doing better by watching the competition.
Yeah, to some degree, but we try to pay more close attention to our actual customers and what they're telling us, mm-hmm. not what the competitor is doing. Although Starbucks is, I mean, they've got a lot of data behind them. And so
that's why, in order to make a better coffee shop, sometimes you might sit in another coffee shop. I just use that as an easy example. Like I said, I didn't want to speak blasphemy here. Mike McFall here from Bigby Coffee, and he brought me coffee, whole bean. He must know me well. I'll take it to the French press by the time that the sun sets. A quick break. We'll be back with more after this. You never want to make that call to the insurance company. I know I don't, but when you have to, you have to. I'm Steve Gruber, and that's why I trust Mauer Foster Insurance. Just recently, I had to make that call. My truck got banged up, and it needed some work. I called Mauer Foster for answers. What a relief to deal with a team of professionals that knew exactly what I needed. It took one phone call, my repairs were in motion, and now I'm back on the road. So when anyone asks me, who do I trust for insurance? That's easy. Mauer Foster Insurance in Lansing.
DTE wants to help your business build Michigan's future. Whether your business is large, small, or in between, a DTE expert will help you find ways to improve energy efficiency and add incentives through our many programs. Programs that can help you save money. Money you can use to create jobs and invest in the future. You see, DTE wants you to be successful. Because when your business thrives, Michigan does too. DTE. At DTE, our business is making sure you have reliable, affordable natural gas to keep your business running. So we constantly upgrade and monitor our system 24/7, 365. We also buy natural gas in the summer when prices are low and store it for winter. Because at DTE, part of our business is to keep your business costs affordable all year long. Learn more at dteenergy.com. DTE.
Attention songwriters, beginner or pro. NSAI Mid-Michigan chapter meetings are held every second Saturday of the month from 1 to 4 p.m. at the MSU Community Music School. You can learn more about the NSAI by visiting www.nashvillesongwriters.com or visit the NSAI Mid-Michigan chapter Facebook page to contact the chapter coordinator online.